Welcome to Sense and Sensibility, the Inflation Guy podcast. I am Michael Ashton. I am the Inflation Guy, and I am your host. And today we have the monthly inflation report brought to you by Simplify ETFs. This episode of Sense and Sensibility, sponsored by Simplify ETFs, a fast-growing manager of alternative ETFs, solving today's most pressing portfolio challenges. Not only do they have sophisticated diversifying strategies like a managed futures ETF or yield curve plays like TUA, they also have the number one best-performing intermediate core bond fund from 2023. That's AGGH, and an enhanced income ETF, ticker HIGH, that was in the top 2% of its category. Check out their website at simplify.us. That's simplify.us, and you can find their entire lineup of ETFs at simplify.us/ETFs. And of course, this podcast is also sponsored by Enduring Investments. Inflation is looking like it's going to be sticky and not like it was before. This means that portfolio dynamics will be different going forward since the inflation factor is abroad in the land again. This affects you whether you are an individual investor or a pension or insurance company or wealth management CIO. If you're looking for a manager for your personal money or a sub-advisor or a consultant for your corporate treasury or fund, look to Enduring to help you navigate these new portfolio dynamics. Defend your money. Visit us at enduringinvestments.com. So there's an old story, and Ronald Reagan used to tell the story a lot, but it predates him by quite a bit, about twin boys, who had very different personalities. One was an inveterate pessimist, and one was an inveterate optimist, to the degree that the parents were concerned in both cases. And so the parents took the two kids to a psychiatrist and to a psychologist, and the psychologist addressed the pessimist first and took the pessimist to a room full of toys. And but instead of getting all excited, the boy looked at all the toys and started to cry. And the psychologist said, "Well, why are you crying? There are all these toys. They're all for you." And the boy says, "Well, of course I like them, but I'm going to break them." And so, you know, the psychologist, okay, well, we'll have to figure this one out. But then went and decided to treat the optimist and took the optimist into a room piled, you know, up to the ceiling with horse manure. And the boy, much to the surprise of the psychologist, jumps into the pile and starts digging like crazy. And the psychologist says, "Well, what are you doing?" And the boy says, "With all of this manure, there's got to be a pony in here somewhere." And in today's report, I got to say we have a potential pony situation because there's a lot of manure. There's a lot of manure in today's inflation report. You know, the Biden administration always seems to be confused. You know, we've got these strong jobs numbers, wages are looking good, and they're always confused about why, when you actually poll people about the economy, the answer comes back that people they're not really excited about the economy. They don't think that they're getting ahead. They don't think that they're doing well. They're not optimistic. And the answer is very simple, that people don't like taxes, and inflation is a tax. So people in the upper classes maybe don't feel this so much, but people in the lower middle classes, in the upper middle class, totally feel inflation. And it's not a fake thing. It's something that's actually happening to all of us out there. And so that makes you pretty miserable. It's fascinating to me that the administration gets very confused by this and thinks that it's something to do with the reporting. It's not the reporting. It's that prices are going up, and it's really, really annoying, and it causes us to try to change the way we live to save money. But unlike with real taxes, where you can call your accountant and your accountant can advise you to not sell, you know, don't take the realized gain or offset your realized gains with realized losses, or push this bonus check into next year or whatever. You know, there are ways you could sort of, you know, massage your income so that you don't pay as much tax in a very legitimate way. but there are ways you can move things around. You can't, it's much harder to do that with the inflation tax. It's everywhere. You know, you can try to consume something else, but that something else is also going up in price. So, you know, there's the classic story that you move from beef to chicken to save money. Well, that's fine. You save money that one time, but then the chicken, you know, chicken prices keep going up too. So you can't get away from the inflation. And that's why everybody gets, you know, really annoyed by inflation. And that's the reason that people, the reason I think that people are persistently rating the economy as much worse than you would expect, given the unemployment rate where it is, and wages doing what they're doing. So inflation is a tax and it sucks. You can rearrange your portfolio to address it to some extent. And if you're curious about that, you should visit one of our sponsors, Enduring Investments, and ask how you do that. But you can't change your lifestyle that much. So, but let's get into the actual report. Coming into today, the consensus was for about a 0.28 on core, month on month, and headline of 0.33. The inflation swaps market was a little bit more sanguine than that, a little bit lower, about 0.4 lower, 0.29% on headline. You can't trade core inflation swaps, and so it's hard to say, but suffice to say that the swaps market was more optimistic than economists or Kalshi markets. Kalshi markets were also at about 0.3 for both headline and core. So, you know, the story has been persistently this year that rents have been sticky, wages have been sticky, and economists have been surprised by both of those things. For the last, I think, four reports now, economists have undershot core CPI. And not by a ton. You know, if you're forecasting 0.28 for core inflation, that's like 3.5%, you know, for the year. If you get a year of those of 0.28, you get about 3.5%. And so that's not like a really, you know, the Fed needs to be seeing. If they wanted to get to a 2%, you know, core inflation, then you've got to be doing like, you know, some 0.15s and some 0.2s and nothing higher than that to get to that number. So we're not anywhere close to that. And economists know that, even though last year the forecasts, remember, the forecasts that we were all hearing in the middle of last year were that we'd be back at target in 2024. And now I think everyone's kind of come around to the view that it's not likely that we're going to be back at target this year. You know, if we kind of continue this downward trend, maybe we can get there in 2025, but we'll see. And unfortunately, the data is not sort of supporting that view either. So today we got the actual number was 0.36% on core, so almost a full tenth higher than the consensus, and 0.38% on headline. And so the last three core numbers were 0.39, 0.36, 0.36. And that, you know, if you compare that to, you know, 6 or 8 months ago, remember all the people who were doing the 3 month averages? Well, if you want to look at the 3 month average here, core CPI, it's like, you know, 0.37. You know, that's, you know, upper fours in terms of core inflation. So that's not, so you won't hear anybody doing a 3 month average. It never made any sense. But if you sort of look at the trend over the last, you know, 6 or 8 months, core inflation has been gradually, you know, going up, not down, on a month-on-month basis. And we'll get into sort of, you know, the details here. Primary rents. So, you know, again, the story has been rents are sticky, wages are sticky. That's kind of the big extent of the story. This month, so we start by looking at rents. So primary rents, rent of primary residence, you know, if you rent your home, you live in an apartment, that decelerated to 0.41% from 0.46%. So, you know, that's progress. 0.41 is still meaning that it's around 5%, you know, it would be 5% year on year if we got that every month. Owner's equivalent rent was steady at 0.44%. Now, that's good in a way, because remember back 2 months ago, there was this big 0.56% print in owner's equivalent rent. And you know, a lot of people kind of got all disturbed that this was because the BLS had changed its the survey coverage for the owner's equivalent rent survey, and that that was going to mean that permanently that that 0.59 represented that we were going to have this permanent, we were, or 0.56, we were going to have 0.56 every month instead of the 0.4s. And that didn't happen. So we got the 0.56. It was a one-off, and the last 2 months have been 0.44, which is about what it was before the little spike. So rents are coming down. I wouldn't call that a hot number. It's not higher than people were expecting by a lot, but it's sticky. It's just not going down very fast. It is going down. It's just not going down very, very quickly, and it's not going to deflation. And again, and I say this all the time, you know, the forecast based on some bad econometrics that a lot of people were making, including a lot of people at the Fed, was, hey, we're going to be at target in 2024. Why? Because rents are going to be in deflation. Because new rents are you know, new rental, you know, asking rents are coming down, and Zillow rents is in deflation and all this stuff. And so, you know, those are the, that's the early data. And so we're just going to be in deflation. And it never made any sense. And there were a couple, there was a, I did a blog or a podcast on the NTRR and the, you know, ATRR and the ways, different ways to sort of, you know, slice and dice the rental data that gave you something which looked very, very optimistic, but with massively wide error bars so that you should just ignore them. You know, the error bars told you you couldn't conclude anything. And so, but people really, really relied heavily on that, and it's not happening. Our model has rents going down gradually, the year-on-year rents declining or decelerating until about November to about 2.3% year-on-year. And then actually accelerating after that. And it's been a couple of months now when the turn was kind of evident in our model. But now it looks pretty clear that it's actually accelerating. It's not going to flatten out at 2.3. It's actually going to accelerate from there. So 2024 has this nice following wind from decelerating rents, which we're not going to get in 2025. So core X housing. So again, we first look at rents. Now let's take the rents out. And core inflation X housing is 2.38%, which is a little bit higher than last month. That's not terrible. If all of inflation was at 2.38%, we'd feel pretty good because that's basically at target. If CPI is at 2.38, that means core PCE is around 2. And but the problem is that, you know, rents are persistently faster than overall inflation or have been for quite a while, which means that everything outside of rents needs to be below 2%. And back when we had kind of low and stable inflation, that's kind of the way it was, is that you had, you know, core goods especially were sort of in deflation and very low inflation. And then core X rents was, you know, in the ones, and then you had rents above that. So as long as core X housing is at 2.38%, we're not there yet. Again, it's not hot. It's just sort of, it's sort of sticky. Part of the reason, so then we look at core X housing, right? So core goods, that's the part that has driven this entire disinflation, okay? So, and a lot of that has been used cars. Used cars, you know, led everything on the way up and they're leading everything on the way down. And, but the problem, and this month, used cars were down 1.1%. New cars were actually down 0.2%. I think that's because there are a lot of EVs sitting on dealer lots that kind of jammed to dealers because of pressure to produce all these EVs that consumers don't want. And so I think that we're getting markdowns on those cars. And I think that's part of the reason you're seeing that in the CPI. So I'm not sure it's necessarily good news. But those things are driving core goods lower. And core goods year on year is now down to minus 0.7%. Last month, we were minus 0.3%. And that's lower than I kind of thought they were going to get. I thought we'd be around zero and you know, float around and come back up a bit. And we haven't. But at the same time, the story is basically the same that, you know, if you you want to get core inflation lower, it's going to have to come from core services, because core goods at minus 0.7% just doesn't have room to go down a ton. And it has a lower weight than core services anyway. But you got to have core goods, you know, continue to decline if it's all going to come from core goods, and it's already kind of at levels that it's just going to be very hard for it to go down much further. Meanwhile, core services was 5.4 from 5.2. And again, that wasn't rents. Rents didn't accelerate, and this is year on year. Rents didn't accelerate. So we actually had the acceleration in core services in kind of the so-called super core. So the core services ex rents is what was accelerating. And actually a good part of that, this month we had hospital services up 1% and overall medical care up about 0.5% month on month. Hospital services are now up something like 7.5% year on year, which is the highest since 2010. Okay, so, you know, it's been surprising for a while as we went through COVID that hospital services were not accelerating more, and now they are, and that's what's causing Supercore to hook back higher. Now, where's the pony? So we've got, you know, all that is the manure. Where's the pony? Well, the pony is that if you look at median inflation, okay, now I like to forecast median because it's more stable. You know, you ignore the outliers when that happens. And the outliers every month when I do this report, I end up talking about what's the outlier this month? What was the crazy number that everyone's going to throw out and that kind of, well, if you focus on median, then you kind of do that. And if you look at median, my estimate of median this month, and it may be slightly above or slightly below that for seasonal adjustment reasons, is about 0.32. Now, that's better than core. Core was 0.36, right? And moreover, if you sort of look at the month-on-month medians, they've been fairly stable over the last 6 to 9 months. While it looks like core had been accelerating, median really hasn't been. It's been up, it's been down, whatever. It's been more or less kind of flattish at a high level, but it's been flattish. And so that's sort of the pony, is that okay, you know, something of part of what's happening here, even on the rent side, is some of the regions are seeing a lot of rental growth, owner's equivalent rent in particular, but some of the regions are seeing less. And so when you kind of separate that out, then you see that about half of the consumption basket is accelerating less than 0.32% this month, and half is accelerating more than that. And that median of 0.32 would be, if it turns out to be actually that number that prints, would be the lowest since October. Again, more, you know, still in the range, but still the lowest since October. Now, there's some bad news to that pony, and that is that if core, you know, if over the next, you know, 3 to 6 months, we continue to see core above median, that tends to be a signal. That means all the tails are occurring to the upside, which is a bad sign, because in a disinflationary environment, all the tails should be in the downside, or most of the tails. And in an inflationary environment, it goes the other way. So when we saw inflation swinging higher in 2021, we saw core going up faster than median and further than median. All those tails, all the bad things that were happening were to the high side. That's what happens in an inflationary environment. And then as we moderated, and even an early sign of that moderation was that core dropped below median. And that's where we've been until recently. So this is just 1 month, but you know, if we continue to get these kind of hot core numbers with median below them, you know, I focus on median, so that's good. But we do have to recognize that's still not great. That's not, it doesn't have the flavor of the data we want to see if we're going to get back to this 2% target. So, you know, we've got kind of the, you know, you look at the headline and then you look at the core and then you look at the median and then you look at the shape of the acceleration of the median and then you look at the shape of the acceleration of the median relative to core. And we're obviously really deep into the weeds here and really inside baseball. To you, the listener, you know that inflation is not where we want it to be because you feel it every day. With all the economists are doing and all the inflation guy is doing, it's just, you know, looking at this data and just you know, analyzing where that pressure is coming from. And by looking at the sort of the second moment, the third moment, the changes in the changes, hopefully giving some idea of when it's going to, you know, get back to where we want it to be. The sad answer to that is it's not going to happen in 2024. I still think, I've been saying it for a while, we're going to end up being sticky in the high threes, low fours on median inflation. And that's kind of where we're going to end up hanging out for a while. The Fed can change this over time. They can't change it in sort of the short term. What they've been doing in terms of shrinking the balance sheet, they've gotten very lucky on the money supply, because shrinking the balance sheet doesn't necessarily lead to a lower money supply when you have too much liquidity, but the money supply has been declining a little. And if that persists, if they can keep doing that, you know, then in a year or so, we'll kind of start to get back to something, you know, more normal. There's a lot of talk about, well, there had been a lot of talk about the Fed easing in June. That's not going to happen. But there's still talk about the Fed easing later this year. There's really no reason to think that's going to happen. Unless you think there's a political slant to this. But there certainly is nothing in the data that suggests that the Fed, you know, that inflation is licked and we need to start looking at unemployment. So far, everything looks hot and there does not look like there's a reason for the Fed to go ease. But so policy-wise, we're going to end up with rates that are higher for longer, what people have been saying for a long time. If we can, it's not a sure thing that having those rates higher will keep the money supply decelerating, but it's the money supply you care about, not the interest rates. So that's what we want to keep an eye on. So far, the developments in the money supply are positive. That's the reason that inflation has been coming down and it hadn't been continuing to accelerate. It's got to keep doing that for a while, because what we're seeing here is sort of this echo inflation with, you know, core services ex rents heading higher, and we need to kind of keep the pressure on in order to bring this debt back down to where it needs to be. But that's not 2024. And, you know, the politicians can say all day about how they think that consumers are misreading this and they don't know why consumers are so negative. You know, you and I know why consumers are negative. There may be a pony in there somewhere, but, you know, all the poop's falling on us. So anyway, that's all for that's all for today's podcast. If you liked it, please tell people about it. You know, subscribe. A lot of you have subscribed and refer other people. You know, you can get this podcast on, you know, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, you know, everywhere you get your podcast, you can get it. So, please push other people this way. You can subscribe for free to the blog. I also have I do this CPI report similarly on the blog the day of the CPI. That's at inflationguy.blog, and it's free. Visit Enduring Investments if you have an inflation challenge, but most importantly, and because it's not going away, defend your money. If inflation is coming for you, remember, you know a guy.